Hi, this is Olivier, and you're watching the Internet of Things show. Today, we will talk about data, big data in the context of IoT. And today, we have Kevin Say with us. Hey,
yes.
Kevin.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How about you?
I'm wonderful, wonderful.
Thanks for joining.
Sure.
So, Kevin, what is your day life job?
Great. Been at Microsoft about 10 years. I have the best job at Microsoft.
Okay. Mine is the best.
Yours might be the second best. I've been doing IoT for about 5 of the years here at Microsoft. My responsibility right now is to help partners, those who develop solutions that include Microsoft's IoT capability in there, and we bring them to market. You'll see lots of them out there, so the best job ever. I get to do the thing I was born to do.
Got it. And you have a nice t-shirt today.
I certainly do.
That actually leads to a question. Sure. Like, do you see customers using Windows, Linux, a variety of these devices in IoT scenarios?
Yes to all the above. Okay. There's a certain place where Linux rocks and does a great job. Mm-hmm. There's a certain place where Linux can't solve the problem, and the Windows brings a great advantage to the table. Yeah. So it's great, great.
It's whatever is good for the customer base.
Certainly. When we look at like our SDKs and things, we look at all of them. So we don't have a preference there. The right tool for the right job.
Cool. So the one thing you wanted to talk about today is big data in the context of IoT scenarios, right?
Certainly, certainly. So we do have a great IoT product, right, called Azure IoT Hub. Mm-hmm. It does some amazing stuff. I talk to customers and partners all the time, and I kind of walk them through three what I call tenets of big data and IoT. The first tenet is that all data has value. Mm-hmm. You may not know the value, may not have value this year, today, or this month, but it has value. The second tenet says, if all data has value, we need to preserve the data in its raw form. Mm-hmm. Example, in our relational world, if we had like 12 pieces of data, I only care about two of them, I might get rid of 10 of them.
Yep.
Right? And only store the two I want, and that's great, that solves lots of problems. But there's going to come a time later when you're going to say, hey, what was the average over this time based on this data? And I got rid of that data, so I can't answer your question.
Got it.
So all data has value. Store it in its native form so you can ask it the questions you're not prepared to ask yet. The third thing, all data has value, and you'll keep it in its native form. If that's true, you want to store it in a cost-effective manner. Big fan of relational stuff, been working with SQL since the Sybase partnership, right? Great platform, absolutely love it, but not the right platform all the time for big data. And the fact that we have so much IoT data, right? Storing data in a relational format might be the most expensive. So in this scenario, we're actually storing blob storage.
Yeah.
Blob storage is one of the cheapest ways of storing data. Because remember, it has value, don't know the question asked, so I want to store it in the relational platform, in the blob platform, and I'll ask it questions later.
Got it.
And that's what we'll walk through today, a little bit of that.
Got it. Yep.
Great. So we have some great capability in what we call Azure IoT Hub. We call it routing. Mm-hmm. And routing says that when data comes in, I may not need it today. I just want to store it maybe in a blob storage.
Correct. Yep.
So we lit up that capability a while back where we can route data there. We can just store it out there. And that caused an opportunity and a problem, right? So walking my customers through that, they're like, great, love it, Kevin. That makes sense because that follows all the things you talked about. But then they're like, how do I query this stuff?
Yeah, because blob actually is like, it's just a blob.
Certainly. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. It's anything you want it to be, right? Yep. Small files, big files, text files, non-text files, media. In this scenario, we actually store in the AVRO format. Great format. Mm-hmm. And it comes to us from the Hadoop world, and it preserves all the things we care about, properties and those.
Okay. So AVRO, as in generated by the device in that format, and you just like store it as is, like IoT Hub is just the path through, basically, right?
Great question. Okay. In IoT Hub, we're storing probably like a JSON format. That's what most of my stuff's storing. So it doesn't matter the format. The routing capability in IoT Hub will actually store an AVRO.
Oh, you can convert things to the IoT Hub routing capabilities. It's like whatever the input, right, I put there in that format.
Certainly.
Got it.
Certainly the way this works out. So yeah, spot on. In this scenario, right, how do I query the stuff? How do I look at it? That's what we'll kind of walk through a little bit.
Let me ask you, Kevin, how do you query that?
That's a great question. When we look at that, one of my other statements is that, and don't take this wrong, IoT creates a big data problem, but it's a good problem. I can now answer all kinds of questions. In this scenario, as an IoT practitioner, I might be saying, I'm not a big data guy.
Okay.
How do I do this? That's what we'll walk through right now. So let's look at that.
Okay.
Let's jump right into that. So what I'm showing on the screen right here is just Azure. Right, and the fact that I'm walking through a couple of items. The very center, you'll see I've actually stood up what we call an Azure Data Lake Analytics. There's two pieces of Data Lake that we discuss here. Analytics, that's the computational side, and the store, which is where the blob kind of scenario, where I store stuff at. Yeah. In this scenario, we're going to talk about the analytic piece here. So very simple to create it. Just click on the add. And I
So you pick Data Lake by default, but I heard you say there's various patterns, various ways actually you can deal with data, right?
Certainly. There's about four major patterns and capabilities, mm-hmm. right? Hadoop is one of them.
Okay.
Great solution. The challenge with Hadoop compared to what I'm doing here is Hadoop, you kind of provision the whole cluster, we call it, and it's always running, always sitting there. It's a huge price of okay. running at any given time.
Okay.
Azure Data Lake Analytic, you only pay when you run the query and no other time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a...
Well, you mentioned cost-effective big way data of storing the data, right?
Certainly. Okay. Certainly. It's big data on demand, if you don't call it that, right?
Okay.
In all transparency, I have to store the data. Mm-hmm. But for this scenario, I'm storing the data in a blob storage, dirt cheap from that perspective. Mm-hmm. And it really enables great capability at a great cost model.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're looking at here.
So you're just using analytics in that case.
That's exactly what I'm doing. So of course, if I want to look at anything there, I can just look up, Data Lake, right? Data. And you'll see he'll come up and ask me which one to want, analytics store. So I have all the stuff I'm looking for there. Okay. So simple stuff. Like any good chef, though,
mm-hmm.
I've already deployed something, so you don't have to wait the 2 or 3 minutes to make that happen.
That works.
We're going to go right here into Azure Data Lake Analytic, and we get to look at those queries I've run in the past,
mm-hmm.
and maybe even the cost of them, and the successful execution of them. So here's how I've run a few of them. I've only spent $19 and some change in that area. But let's shift for a second and look at really get deeper under the covers.
Okay.
So my favorite IDE, Visual Studio, is where I'll start.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In Visual Studio, I want to create an Azure Data Lake application. So I just go File, New, Project. And over here, I get to tell what type of project I want, lots of add-ins. In this scenario, I can select Azure Data Lake and ask for a USQL query.
Okay. So do you have this, when you install Visual Studio, you add one of the specific?
Sure. These are the add-ins, right?
So this is an add-in.
So yes, certainly.
Do post-install Visual Studio, add this add-in, right?
Exactly.
Correct.
That's exactly what we do. So spot on in that area. So we'll kind of walk through just this really simple query for a second, right? The very top of it's more C-sharp in nature, right? I'm kind of including some libraries.
Okay.
In this case, it happens to be DLLs, right? I define a reference, and I set a couple of variables, such as what my input source might be.
Okay.
Well, my output source. Here, my input source happens to have something called WASB. So that's actually where I'm calling directly to Windows Azure Storage. Tell it what path I want and what dates and what kind of scenario I'm looking for. My output file, in this case, happens to be just a CSV file.
Okay.
Then kind of jumping through my very first item, I'll say, I want to extract from that Azure Storage some content, but I need to parse it. Remember, it's not in a relational format there. So I'm going to use the AVRO extractor.
Okay.
And this, I had to define.
Because it's AVRO
that's
been put in there, right? Okay.
Certainly. I need to give a little bit of what the format, what the structure looks like.
Mm-hmm.
This is an example of schema on read.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I got something sitting out there, and my schema could change over time. But when I actually want to read it, I want to define what the schema looks like.
Okay.
In this scenario, there's really only one thing I'm going after, what we're going to call the body of the message. And it happens to be in a byte format.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Using the power of C#, I can say, I want to get data out of there. And I'm going to call it the JSON message. And I just take that byte array and convert it to a string. And then my very last time, I say, I want to output it as a CSV file.
Okay.
Simple stuff. I said, here are the libraries I needed.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my input. Here's my parsing. Here's my output.
Got it. Quick question. So,
sure.
As a developer at heart, I'm wondering, say, what happens if the data is not in the format you're expecting? Because you're defining the format you're expecting. What happens is that content in the AVRO format is not what you expect here.
Sure, great. So if the schema is not right, right? I've defined the schema to be one way, but it's actually another way. I'm going to have failures, right? So in certain areas, I have to look at it. And that's not bad, right? Because a schema could change over time. As I mentioned, my second tenet was store the data in its native format.
Mm-hmm.
As devices change throughout time, maybe the data format changes as well.
Yeah.
That's an absolute fine answer.
Yep, yep.
We can handle all that. So ultra cool.
That's pretty
when cool. I run this script, though, I just hit this submit. I want to the very top there, I have an AU, right? And the fact that I can tell how many units I want to allocate to this, how fast I want to run, what amount of monies I'm willing to allocate towards it.
Okay.
So I can run this guy, and you'll see I've already pre-run this guy, and it's taken a little bit of time here. Here, this one actually took 6 minutes.
Okay.
When we look at big data stuff, it's not sub-millisecond, but we're looking over huge amounts of data, right? We don't expect to be sub-millisecond. This could actually be batch in nature.
Yep.
Or it could be that from a user experience, I expect it to take a minute or two because I just looked over terabytes of data. Yep. So it's a fine answer.
Yep.
In this scenario, we kind of look through and we parse through and we actually output the CSV file. Mm-hmm. I can come back to the browser and say, what does that CSV file look like? Right? So I can just jump right in there. You see I have one called output CSV. And I just kind of click on the file, say, show me what it looks like. And I can, you know, tell me the format that happens to be in that particular file. Mm-hmm. On this particular one, though, I just left it in its raw format. I will pivot, though, to change to say that maybe I want to do some where clauses. Give me this data where it's of this pattern, this type, this method.
Yep.
So I can then take the exact same content and say, I want to look at it differently. Mm-hmm. I want to do some clauses. So I modified my script as well. Well, let me go back to script we just talked about, right? There's been no changes, right? I kind of looked through that.
Typically what I'm thinking, what you're describing here, I could think of a scenario such as I'm doing root cause analysis for a problem on my HVAC system that happened last week.
Certainly. Root cause analysis assumes there's a problem. Maybe I'm being more of a growth mindset. I want to say, what are the opportunities? Mm-hmm. Show me things I hadn't seen before.
Okay. Makes sense.
This always happens.
Yeah.
And that's the power of really AI. I don't want to overuse that term, but we can learn things we as humans may not have thought about because it analyzes different angles.
Got it.
But makes you're sense. Right. No, the most sense. Common thing would be root cause. Mm-hmm. The next thing might be, what are my opportunities?
Makes sense.
Spot on.
I like it.
So I then wrote a second script, and the fact that I wanted to kind of parse it differently.
Okay.
I want to say, show me the columns. So this one here, we'll see a little different. I've actually added a couple of different lines there to say, I want to now take that same data, but I want to send it through a JSON parser. So take this string of data and parse it different JSON items so that I can do some where clauses. This gives me a great capability to start calculating it differently. So I can then go look at what might the file look like. And here we see actually the file I'm showing, I've actually parsed by the column. So I can say, what might it be like? Because I may be looking at certain things where I want to sum, average, or whatever I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. But really, in those few lines of code, I was able to bring the power of big data to go in a very cost-effective manner to go parse the data I'm looking for and to solve the question I might be seeking.
Yeah. And all of that at the IoT scale, right? It's
certainly.
Like tons
certainly.
Of data coming from tons of devices.
Yeah, there's no scale here, right? One of the other premises of big data is the fact that we like parallelize things, right? With multiple things running at the same time, right? Because to wait for one processor, process to finish might be a failure.
Got it.
Yeah, so that's kind of it for what I want to show right there is the, you know, we talked about the IoT routing stores data natively. Mm-hmm. That's great. How do we get after that? Mm-hmm. And so the power of big data, and I'm not really a big data scientist kind of guy, right? This is not what I studied in school. It's relatively simple. With the advent of USQL, a little bit of C#, a little bit of SQL, structured query language, I'm able to get the stuff I'm looking for in the most cost-effective manner possible.
Awesome.
That's it.
That's a great perspective on what data lake analytics actually can bring in IoTs and audios. I love that.
Very cool.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank Hope you
to
so
see
much.
You soon.
Yes, sir.
Back on the show for another topic.
Sounds great.
Okay, cool. Thanks. Thank you, guys.